You're listening to MMA Rated Radio, brought to you by Crooked Jaw. Check them out at crookedjaw.net. My name is Ariel Helwani, and today we're featuring the heavyweights again here on MMA Rated Radio, and more specifically, the International Fight League's heavyweight champion of the world. Some like to call him Big Country, others just Roy Nelson. But regardless, the man has won his last four fights in a row, with his next one coming on May 16th from the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut, against one Brandon Lee Hinkle. What up, Roy?
How you doing? Pretty good, man.
Great to be talking with you, and I've always wanted to ask you this one question. The nickname Big Country, was that taken from the basketball star who used to play for the Vancouver Grizzlies, or is there another reason for that?
No, I actually when I got the name Big Country, and then I remembered the basketball star, I'm like, I don't want that name because he's a loser. But the biggest thing came from Eric Pele. Right. Biggie, he just gave me that nickname over at John Lewis' school, and he just thought I was, like an Iowa or Oklahoma wrestler, and then the name just kind of stuck, because the more I fought it, the more it stuck.
Well, at least for combat sports fans, you're making people forget about the horrible experiment that was Big Country, the basketball player Brian Reeves' career in the NBA. So you're doing a good job making people forget, especially recently. Four wins in a row, your last four fights in the IFL. Now you're the heavyweight champion. You're coming off of a very successful title defense, finishing off your opponent Fabiano Scherner in just 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And now you have this bout against Brandon Lee Hinkle. Do you find it strange that a guy like Hinkle, making his IFL debut, is getting a title shot right off the bat?
A little bit. I mean, but it's the IFL, so it's one of those things like you kind of like with the UFC, kind of, you know, they kind of pick and choose the same way, you know, who they're going to fight, but at least they kind of make you earn your way up. IFL is kind of, you know, when they do the team versus team, they just kind of go, well, he looks good to fight, so let's just pick him up.
So it's not so much who is a number one contender or whatnot. It's more how you match up against, you know, the top heavyweight in another team.
Yeah, I think they just, you know, match you up that way versus, and then I think it's also pay-wise, because I don't think anybody in the top 10 is going to, you know, fight for peanuts.
What do you know about Hinkle? I know the fight is, you know, just close to a month out. Have you watched any of his previous bouts? Have you been able to study him? Or, you know, there's some guys out there who don't even like to do that kind of thing.
With Brandon, he's actually, you know, he's been around the business for a very long time. He actually comes from a decent camp with Coleman and Randleman. He's going to come out and wrestle because, you know, he just comes from a great wrestling camp. Besides that, watch some of his old, you know, some of his old footage, you know, like with him fighting Gabriel Gonzaga and Munson. So we know he has takedowns. His hands are, you know, they're okay, but, anybody over 205 pounds that can throw, you know, leather to a certain degree, can knock you out. So, you know, he's got that threat. But, I mean, you have a great, great All-American wrestler.
A lot of people might not know that Hinkle is responsible for defeating Sean Gannon, who his claim to fame is beating Kimbo Slice in a underground street fight YouTube match. So that's how some MMA fans who don't know about his past with Munson and Gabriel Gonzaga, as you said several years back, might have heard of the name Brandon Lee Hinkle. So for yourself, have things changed since that victory in December when you were crowned the heavyweight champion in the IFL? Do you feel as though now in the MMA world you're getting a little more respect than, you know, prior, maybe in the shadow of a guy like Ben Rothwell in the IFL?
Not really, because I don't think Ben even gets the respect that he deserves, just because, you know, it's not the UFC. If you didn't come from UFC or Pride or some type of UFC affiliate, you really kind of don't get that respect because, you know, the UFC is supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport just because they hold 80% of the market share. The IFL, I think, you know, has some sleepers. I believe our 145-pounder is now broken the top 10. So, I mean, there's a few guys that I believe are in the IFL, definitely top 10 contenders. It's just, whoever's doing the ratings and the ranked aren't just looking all the way across the board. They just look at the UFC.
So for you, is your main goal to get to the UFC? If you view the UFC as the pinnacle, and no one's gonna argue with you in saying that UFC is number one nowadays. But are you kind of looking? All right, you're the champ in the IFL. You want to help this company grow. They've had some financial trouble. Hopefully now they can sort of get away from all that. Or are you looking at winning a championship, and in all honesty, and using that as sort of a stepping stone to get a bigger payday and to fight on a more visible card?
Like for me personally, it's all about, putting on a good show, making sure, I just keep winning. It doesn't really matter what organization, I'm with the IFL, and all I care about is, I'd fight Fedor, next week. So it's not really the UFC. It's just how the public sees it. Anybody that you put someone in the UFC, oh, they're legit. But that's not, how it is. That's why I'm trying to, I stay with the IFL, is to try to legitimize the IFL and hopefully, get the payday in the back, on the back end. Just hopefully they can get through all of this, the growing pains to get where the UFC was, because at one time UFC, had the same growing pains.
There's a lot of talk, especially now, of promotions and promoters saying they want to work together, everyone except for the UFC. You've heard Gary Shaw say it. You've heard, Kurt Otto say it. And you mentioned Fedor, has anyone in the IFL said, okay, we're going to help you reach a higher status in the world of mixed martial arts by giving you fights with, other guys out there? Say, a Fedor with Adrenaline MMA now, or someone, Antonio Silva in Elite XC. Have they done things to try to give you better opponents?
They, on maybe contract-wise, they've probably helped me that way, but as them... actually going out and trying to set up these fights, probably not. I've probably done more, me running around talking to people to try to set up fights outside the IFL to, my ultimate goal is to, fight Fedor or whoever's number one. Right now, Fedor's number one. I was trying to get that fight for the longest time, but now it looks like Tim Sylvia might get it, which is still a tough fight for Fedor just to kind of give him the recognition, but I think, he still has a good shot of beating Tim versus beating me. So I think they're, trying to set that one up because it's a little bit easier fight.
At any point, did you feel like you were actually really close of securing that bout against Fedor?
Actually, I did. Actually, there was probably a good week or so, and then I think Monty stepped in and found out, because we were talking to Sibling, but Monty, didn't want, Fedor to lose before, he fights, because they've been hyping up that Randy fight.
So you're the guy who, it's not even like your manager or anyone, you're the one trying to make phone calls and coordinate all this?
Well, it's me and my manager. We've been trying to, set up things, outside, the IFL. We got a certain list of fighters that we're allowed to fight outside the IFL, and they're all top 10 guys, so, that's, because everybody wants exclusive, and even the IFL has exclusive. So.
All right. Well, with all due respect to Hinkle, if you do defeat him, can you share with us who are a couple of the names atop your list that you'd like to fight? Sort of like your dream fight list.
If I had a dream fight list, it'd be Fedor number one, because that's the fastest way to the top. I'd fight, anywhere. I'd fight a Randy Couture, but Randy got probably about one or two fights left. So he's waiting for the big payday, which would be Fedor. Tim Sylvia, I fight Ben Ruffalo again because he's now in top 10. Andre Arlovsky, Gabriel Gonzaga.
So basically any of the top guys who are in anyone's top 10 in MMA, except the interesting thing is that none of those names are in the IFL. So you're probably going to have to try to work hard to make some sort of co-promotion.
Yeah, the biggest thing is you got to stay away from the UFC guys, because all the other, like you said earlier, all the organizations are kind of willing to work together. So, you'd have to leave, the Czech Congo alone. You'd have to leave
Heath Herring or something like that.
Right, exactly. You'd have to leave all those guys alone. But, but now pretty much all the heavyweights are gone. I mean, probably Andre Arlovsky's not going to be with the UFC anymore. Josh, that's not with the UFC. Fedor's not with the UFC. Tim Sylvia is not with the UFC. You know, I mean, you can go down the list now and start, you know, pulling everybody off the top 10 that used to be in the UFC that are no longer with the UFC.
You know what I think would be a great idea for you, especially now? You got Mirko Krokop, who's gone from the UFC, fighting over in Dream, and you know, thus far, not a lot of opponents for him over there. Any thoughts of trying to make that kind of match? I think that would really put you on the map, obviously.
Yeah. Any of the Japanese organizations, I'm willing to fight, you know, over there. It's just kind of, you know, it's just hard with the, you know, IFL, because right now we got to kind of fitting in the IFL fights, and then trying to fight outside is kind of hard, just because IFL actually keeps you pretty busy.
So,
like, I mean, when I fought in February, now I'm fighting in May.
But you believe this can actually happen, because you hear a lot about, you know, this whole happy world of promoters working together, and you see what went down with Strikeforce and Elite XC, where it seemed as though behind the scenes everyone wasn't happy. You think that something like this can actually happen in the near future?
I believe it can. The only thing that stops a lot of organizations like this is just pure greed. So, you know, when Golden Boy was going to get involved, I think that was probably the best thing, because they come from a boxing standpoint where, you know, they make 50% of the money, and then 50% goes to the rest of the purses. Now, with the MMA, it's like I make 95% and then don't, you know, give 5% of the purses away. So it's as long as you get a good promoter that's, you know, willing to, you know, understand that, you know, the fighters that actually make the, you know, promotion and can build, you know, build it up and, you know, make some really good money in a long-term relationship, I think they'll have a really good organization.
What's your contract situation like with the IFL right now?
I just re-signed with them, so I'm currently just, you know, with them, just trying to finish out the contract. I'll finish out this year. Actually, before this year, so like October. So as long as I can do that and just keep winning, hopefully I'll stay with the IFL as long as they can, you know, keep giving me opponents and keep, you know, feeding my family.
You're probably in the best situation of all, because you're the champ, you're the heavyweight champ, and if that contract expires, they have to keep you. I mean, they don't want to see their champ go away, so you have a huge bargaining chip, you know, on your side of the table.
No, it's because it's not like the UFC where they, you know, they're going to hold that over your head and then just strip you, or, you know, basically just, you know, like, oh, give us our belt and you can go ahead. You know, that's how they've always done it. You know, I think any promotion, like if they really don't like you and really don't want you there, they'll just take your belt and just go, okay, go over there. So, I mean, hopefully the IFL won't do that. Hopefully, you know, the IFL will see that, you know, we make good business together and everybody's happy.
All right, just want to ask you a couple of questions before I let you go. The first one is, I'm a huge proponent of uniformity within the sport, same, you know, length of rounds, having the fights held under the same platform. The IFL right now in North America is doing things a little differently. The rounds are shorter, the fights are in a ring instead of a cage. What is your take on that? Would you like to see everyone, same rules, you know, same ring or cage, or does it not really bother you as a fighter? You just kind of adapt to whatever situation you're handed?
As a fighter, I kind of adapt to, you know, whatever situation, you know, they kind of give me. Ring, preferably, I prefer to actually fight in a cage, just because it's better for my fight style. So I'm a better fighter in a cage. Ring, it's, you know, it's good for the spectators that actually have at a live event versus a cage. 4 minute rounds, I wish they'd probably do 5, which would be, I think, a little bit better, just to keep it, you know, conform to the rest of the, you know, the planet, besides doing like amateur where it's 3. I could do, you know, 5, but the 4, their thing is 4 minutes is supposed to give you longevity in the sport, but as you can see, Randy's already, you know, he's 44, still doing it, so it's not, you know, I don't think 4. I think elbows, them taking elbows out gives longevity to the sport and doesn't prevent, you know, some stupid things of like a little cut over your eye where, that, even though you were winning the whole fight, you can, you know, lose the fight.
All right. Well, you're sort of a throwback to the beginning days of the UFC and mixed martial arts, where, you know, back then you saw a lot of guys with builds similar to yours, you know, like the Tank Abbotts of the world. Now everyone's cut. You know, you look at Czech Congo; these guys, they look like bodybuilders. What do you say to someone who says, "All right, look at this guy. I mean, he's got the big belly. You're proud of it. You've shown it on television after your last victory. I mean, you haven't hid away from any of that type of remarks about your figure. But what do you say to someone who says that for someone to be a champion and represent, you know, the marquee division in combat sports, you should look a little better?"
I think for all those people, probably since I've got into the business, it's actually an entertainment sport. I can be, you know, the guy that's on, you know, juice or, you know, on special vitamins or whatever. I could do that, but, you know, like, then the rest of my health is, you know, gone after, you know, 10 years of me, you know, doing that stuff. Or I can, you know, just go, you know what, I'm a warrior, you know, it's just like how a Samoan is or how a Hawaiian is. They're built, they're ready to fight, and, you know, they're ready to go versus, you know, they don't have to look like a bodybuilder.
So it's safe to say that you've never taken any performance-enhancing drugs in your career?
You want to look at my body?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm and go on the record. Roy, great talking with you, my man. Big Country. You got an upcoming title fight on May 16th again against Brandon Lee Hinkle, and continued success in the IFL. And, you know, whatever happens in the future will happen. But very much enjoy talking with you today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Appreciate having me.